Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The Winter Olympics officially begin in 17 days in Pyeongchang, South Korea, and Nigeria will be represented for the very first time at the Winter Games. The Nigerians are sending a three-woman team to compete in the bobsled event. Seyun Adigun is the team leader and driver for the bobsled team from Nigeria. She talks about the support she's receiving from Nigeria.
It's been beautiful to know that Nigeria is supporting us. They've never had anyone in the Winter Olympics, and they're excited to see that happen. Nigerians globally, people that are even non-Nigerian, you know, just being supportive of the fact that this country is going to get representation at the Winter Olympics, and the continent's going to get representation in the sport of bobsled.
Seyun Adigun, like the two other Nigerian female athletes, has a background in athletics. In fact, she was a hurdler at the 2012 Olympic Games in London. She did not win a medal in London. But again, let's hear from Seyun Adigun.
It's still kind of an out-of-body experience right now. It's kind of surreal, you know. And I think that's just more so because, like, the official results for all the qualifiers comes out in January. But we're on, like, a very unique qualification to where, as long as we had all the things that we needed to execute done, you know, we basically were punching our ticket to the games. And so it's really kind of weird to, you know, come out and be like, yeah, we're going, because it's like you kind of want to wait to enjoy that opportunity in that moment with everyone else who's also going to be qualified to go.
Seyun Adigun, as I mentioned, has a background in athletics. She says the power and other attributes involved in sprinting carry over well to the bobsled event.
Being a strength and power track and field athlete as sprinters, it transferred over quite nicely to bobsled because those are the main characteristics you have to have in order to move the sled as successfully as possible.
Seyun Adigun, the driver and team leader of Nigeria's Olympic women's bobsled team. And now we're going to hear from the two other members of the bobsled team to help move that sled as successfully as possible. As I mentioned, Seyun Adigun recruited Akwoma Omeoga and Ngozi Onwumere for Nigeria's Olympic women's bobsled team. They're also track athletes who are new to the bobsled event. Omeoga says initially, there were doubts about whether they could compete in the sport.
First-hand experience with bobsled was kind of like, what did I get myself into? Like, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, we have a whole entire year left. You know, whatever the road led ahead. But you know what? We did have a few aha moments, especially for us as brakemen being so new to the sport. You know, when we finally got, after our first race in Park City, we were like, oh, so this is how it's done. Because we're like, how are we going to get in the sled? But it's like, you're going to figure it out.
They figured it out enough that they're now looking to challenge for a medal in South Korea, according to Ngozi Onwumere.
We expect to be competitive. We got in this sport thinking that, you know, there were processes to get to where we need to be. Now we're where we need to be, and now it's time to compete, get stronger, get faster, get prepared for the Olympic Games, and, you know, give them a good, you know, run at this.
Olympic team leader Seyun Adigun agrees with Ngozi. saying they're looking for a podium place at the Winter Games.
I mean, I don't think anyone signs up to go to the Games to not be one of the top three, you know? It's totally one of the things that, if you're a natural competitor at least, one of the things that you aspire to is to have a podium spot with respect for the process and respect for the learning curve of what it is that we're actually doing.
That's Seyun Adigun, the driver and leader of Nigeria's first ever Olympic women's bobsled team. She'll be competing at the 2018 Winter Olympics, which officially open February 9th in Pyeongchang, South Korea. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more Winter Olympic news, VOA's Arash Arabasadi introduces us to an American female snowboarder who's hoping to win a medal in South Korea.
It's another day at the office for American freestyle snowboarder and X Games gold medalist Julia Marino. The 20-year-old and her fellow teammates are training in Austria ahead of February's Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea.
First Olympics for a lot of us, and so there's definitely like some stress around that, but I think it's like a good kind of stress. It's fun to have that, and it's not something that kind of psychs you out too much, I guess. It's just pumps you up, and it's like a little adrenaline high that makes you want to work harder.
When she was 18, Marina snowboarded her way to the limelight when she won the International Ski Federation's Big Air World Cup in Boston. A U.S. national team member withdrew ahead of this year's Olympics, which shuffled Marino from a team alternate to the starting lineup. But fate did not start or stop there.
When I was 13, I was skiing. I had kind of a girly-ish pair of skis that wasn't really meant for the things I was doing, like hitting jumps and going in the trees and stuff, and I snapped one ski pretty much in half.
Her family was on a yearly ski vacation to Colorado. She asked her dad to rent her another pair.
My dad was like, no, you have a perfectly good snowboard at home, and you're going to use that the rest of the time. So I, at first, was really bummed about it, but then as soon as I, you know, kind of started getting into it and accepting the fact that I'm going to have to snowboard the rest of this trip, I started really enjoying it.
Enjoying it so much that she is now on the U.S. national team boarding for gold on sport's biggest stage.
When you ride with someone, I think you definitely progress at a faster rate because, one, you're having fun, and two, like when you see something that they do, you want to do, you know, the same thing, and then you guys just build off of each other.
The Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang are now just a few weeks away, and while fate may have brought Marino to snowboarding, it is the hard work on the slopes that may bring her closer to achieving her lifelong dream. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Thanks, Arash. Julia Marino and the other members of Team USA will be wearing uniforms designed by Polo Ralph Lauren at the opening and closing ceremonies of the Winter Olympics. It's a classic red, white, and blue look that also incorporates modern technology. Team USA's parkas offer extra heat and allow the American athletes to use cell phones to adjust the temperature. On their hands will be rawhide brown suede gloves, described as straight out of the American frontier. The gloves are fringed and lined in white with hand beading of the Olympic rings, the American flag, and the word polo in red. More Winter Olympic news. Ghana will be represented by men's skeleton racer Akwasi Frimpong in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Like Nigeria's Olympic women's bobsledders, Frimpong also has competed in athletics. For our VOA listeners in Africa and elsewhere who might not be familiar with the Olympic winter sport of skeleton, it's a sliding sport in which an athlete rides a small sled, known as a skeleton bobsled, down a frozen track while lying face down. And unlike other Winter Olympic sliding sports of luge and bobsled, the skeleton race always involves single riders. And the sport was named from the bony appearance of the sled. Akwasi Frimpong will celebrate his 32nd birthday on February 11th, 2 days after the opening ceremony in Pyeongchang. Ghana's only other Winter Olympian was alpine skier Kwame Nkrumah Achimpong, who finished 47th in the slalom at the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver, Canada. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, an update on the African Nations Championship football tournament in Morocco. So please, keep on the sunny side.
Oh, keep on the sunny side. Always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossing. I feature music and interviews with your favorite artists from all around the world, and you can not only listen, but you can interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT on VOA.
The VOA's Larry London invited me on Border Crossings last Friday, and old Larry put me on the spot. He asked for my Super Bowl prediction. Which two National Football League teams will advance to the championship game in Minneapolis, Minnesota? Well, I got one of the teams right. I picked the Minnesota Vikings to host the defending champion New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52. As it turned out, the Philadelphia Eagles will play the Patriots in a rematch of the 2005 Super Bowl. In the conference championship games over the weekend, the Eagles soared past the Vikings 38-7, while the Patriots rallied to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 24-20. The Super Bowl of American-style football will be played on the same day, February 4th, as the African Nations Championship football final in Morocco. This tournament is for locally based players in Africa, and the field for the quarterfinals is starting to take shape. Morocco will host Namibia in one quarterfinal on Saturday, January 27th, and that same day, Zambia will play Sudan in another quarterfinal in Marrakesh, Morocco. We'll know the matchups for the other two quarterfinals on Sunday, January 28th, after the conclusion of play in Group C and D. Group C is in the spotlight on this Tuesday evening with matches in Tangier and Agadir, Morocco. In Agadir, Nigeria will play winless Equatorial Guinea, which already has been eliminated. The Nigerians, with 4 points, need only a draw to clinch a berth in the quarterfinals. And in Tangier, Rwanda will play Libya. The Rwandans, like the Nigerians, have 4 points and need only a draw to go through to the quarterfinals. The Libyans, with 3 points, face a must-win situation. In Group B results Monday, Uganda and Ivory Coast played to a scoreless draw, and Namibia and Zambia played to a 1-1 draw. The Zambians and the Namibians already had clinched berths in the quarterfinals before the matches kicked off, so the teams were playing mainly for pride. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a short break for these VOA programming announcements.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I will put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Thanks, Ray, and keep counting them down. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Danish player Caroline Wozniacki is through to the women's singles semifinals at the Australian Open after beating Spain's Carla Suarez Navarro Tuesday in three sets. The final score from Melbourne, 6-love, 6-7, and 6-2. The second-seeded Wozniacki can return to the world number one ranking if, and that's a big if she can win her first Grand Slam singles title in Australia. She'll next play the Belgian Elise Mertens, who beat Elena Svitolina of Ukraine in straight sets on Tuesday. Meanwhile, bad news for Spanish star Rafael Nadal. He's out of the Australian Open after retiring in the fifth set of his quarterfinal match with Marin Cilic with an upper right leg injury. The Croatian Cilic won the first two games of the final set when Rafa called it quits after shaking the hands of the umpire. Earlier, Rafa had taken a medical timeout in the fourth set to have his right leg and thigh massaged. Rafael Nadal and other players at the Australian Open have stood out in Melbourne, not just for their tennis skills, but also for their colorful attire. To find out more, we turn to our sports social media reporter, Brianna Muir. Sporty greetings, Brianna.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Nike's bold designs have taken center stage at this year's Australian Open, with bright colorways and bold designs, a sportswear giant hopes to reach younger fans. Top names like Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer are decked head-to-toe in pink and hard to miss against the traditional blue courts. On the women's side, Nike took a subtle approach with soft blushes. In a statement, apparel design director for Nike Court, Sam Shipley, said the challenge of designing for a quick impression is quickly creating a simple but instantly recognizable and bold design and flooded color to grab the viewer's attention. In another statement, Shipley said, "We talked a lot about driving energy through confidence in pink. We thought if this design was in all pink, would it still be aggressive? We're holding ourselves to that test." Nike Court's Instagram has almost 600,000 followers and 383 posts. Thus far, the bold hues have drawn a mixed response on social media. Fans have compared the jerseys to highlighters, candy, and even traffic signs. Let's take a look at what Twitter fans have tweeted. @Jenny_librarian tweeted, "When your masculinity is so fragile that you can't stand tennis players wearing highlighter pink during a tournament." Michael Joe tweeted, "Lovingly #pink at Nike at the Australian Open." Seppi_B tweeted, "Loving the pink outfits for the Nike-sponsored players at the Australian Open this year." So, Sonny, would you wear pink? Back to you.
Thanks, Brianna. Well, if Rafa and Roger can wear pink, Brianna, why not me? I'll wear pink, sure. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, some National Basketball Association news. So please, keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life. Thank you.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net, thanks to Dikembe. A few fun facts about Dikembe Mutombo. He was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2015, and that is, of course, basketball's highest honor. He honed his basketball skills right here in Washington, D.C., where he attended Georgetown University. Dikembe originally came to Georgetown on a USAID scholarship, and his original intention was to become a doctor. However, the Georgetown Hoyas basketball coach at the time, Big John Thompson, when he saw how big Dikembe was, he recruited him to play basketball. In terms of linguistics, Dikembe spoke almost no English when he arrived here in Washington and went to Georgetown. However, he graduated in 1991 with a bachelor's degree in linguistics and diplomacy. For those keeping score, Dikembe Mutombo speaks English, French, Spanish, si señor, Portuguese, and 5 Central African dialects. Dikembe Mutombo has also visited our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington, D.C. I got an up-close and personal look at Dikembe at the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. Dikembe brought his family to South Africa, and after the tournament, he stood out at the airport in Johannesburg on his return to the United States. The big man, the Congolese giant, Dikembe Mutombo. Another big man in the National Basketball Association, DeMarcus Cousins, had a great game for the New Orleans Pelicans on Monday evening. DeMarcus scored 44 points, grabbed 24 rebounds, and he also had 10 assists to power the Pelicans to a 132-128 win over the visiting Chicago Bulls in double overtime. For those keeping score, Cousins became the first NBA player since Hall of Famer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar way back in 1972 to have as many as 40 points, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists in a game, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. The Pelicans won for the 5th time in 6 games. Anthony Davis, the other star big man for the Pelicans, scored 34 points. Elsewhere, the Milwaukee Bucks defeated the Phoenix Suns 109-105. The victory came only a few hours after Milwaukee fired head coach Jason Kidd. James Harden, still sporting my favorite beard in basketball, scored 28 points for the Houston Rockets, and the host Rockets overcame a big early deficit to beat the Miami Heat 99-90. Elsewhere, the Memphis Grizzlies defeated the Philadelphia 76ers 105-101. The Spanish big man, Marc Gasol, scored 19 points for the Grizzlies. One other result, the Atlanta Hawks spread their wings and soared past the Utah Jazz 104-90. And that wraps up the January 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. Trafficking in persons, also known as modern slavery or human trafficking, is a global multi-billion dollar crime and egregious human rights abuse that robs individuals of their freedom. It splinters communities, threatens public safety and national security, distorts economic markets, and undermines rule of law. It feeds corruption, fuels other criminal activity, and helps fund terrorist activities. The International Labor Organization estimates that 24.9 million people are victims of human trafficking globally. Of these, 16 million people are in forced labor exploitation, nearly 5 million in forced sexual exploitation, and 4 million persons in state-imposed forced labor. No country in the world is immune to human trafficking. It is happening in every corner of the globe, in people's homes, in factories, in hotels, on farms, on fishing vessels, in countless places where one might not expect it. Human trafficking also happens in the United States. This means that if we are to fight this scourge, we must begin at home. That is why January is declared by presidential proclamation National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month. President Donald Trump continued that tradition, stating in his proclamation that human traffickers prey on their victims by promising a life of hope and greater opportunity while delivering only enslavement. Instead of delivering people to better lives, traffickers unjustifiably profit from the labor and toil of their victims, who they force, through violence and intimidation, to work in brothels and factories, on farms and fishing vessels, in private homes, and in countless industries. The president further emphasized that during National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month, we recommit ourselves to eradicating the evil of enslavement. Human trafficking is a modern form of the oldest and most barbaric type of exploitation. It has no place in our world. This month, we do not simply reflect on this appalling reality. We also pledge to do all in our power to end the horrific practice of human trafficking that plagues innocent victims around the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at President Donald Trump's first year in office, his successes and setbacks. We'll also take a closer look at his agenda for the year ahead. Join us for the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.